It is back in on the drive coming up in 30 minutes. Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter will be on the show coming up in 30 minutes. Chris Carter is the host of First Things First on FS1. You can catch that 5:30 to 8:30 on Fox Sports 1. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to where the Chiefs, I think, have the biggest advantage in tonight's Monday night football game. We also have an update on Sammy Watkins. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. But before we get to the update on Sammy Watkins, I want to play for you something that Sean Barber said earlier today when it comes to how he would approach this game. Spec, if you can play it for us really quickly.
I think I'd probably go for it on every fourth down. It's either touchdown or bust. Every possession, I mean, you know, you score, like 4 out of 8 touchdowns is almost better than 8 out of 8 field goals. I mean, it's when you run the numbers of how important it is to really score and get in the end zone when you have a chance.
I found a stat today on Arrowhead Pride. This is from Gary McKenzie. He does really good work at @super_G_Chiefs. The Chiefs have scored a touchdown on 41% of their drives this season, and the Rams have scored a touchdown on 34% of their drives. The Chiefs are second when it comes to that percentage. The Rams are third when it comes to that percentage. This isn't one of those games where you're just happy to get on the board first. How many times do we watch a football game and a team will go down the field, take an early 3-0 lead, and that's applauded by the broadcast as they got on the board quick and they struck first? Every time you kick a field goal in this game, that's going to be a disappointing and an empty possession. This is a game, to me, that I would have a Madden-like intensity. I would be hyper-aggressive when it comes to it. Man, I'm not kicking 49-yard field goals in this game. That's not how you're going to win. I've said this all week. I'll continue to say it. I think you got to score at least 35 points to win this game. So to me, you got to be aggressive. If you got 4th and 1 and the opportunity is kick a 44-yard field goal with Harrison Butker or go for it and try to score a touchdown later on that possession, to me, you got to be aggressive and going for it. Obviously, we got to see situations throughout the game. Tomorrow, I will not be critical of Andy Reid for trying to be aggressive and keep his offense on the field and not kick field goals. One more time, if you kick field goals in this game, I would consider that a win for the defense every single time. You got to score touchdowns to win this because you have to assume the other team's offense is going to do so every time they touch the ball.
Yeah, you know, the thing with the NFL is it's kind of weird because a lot of times every time we think we know what's going to happen, the opposite seems to happen. And so I kept thinking, man, this is one of those times. It's got to be one of those times, right? It's like the Bills going into Minnesota and they're 16.5-point underdogs. There's no way the Bills had a chance to win that game. And what happened? They won the game. But I think you look at these two teams, and I think we're going to see basically Rams-Saints part two. That's what this game is going to be. It's going to be Hearns and Hagler back in the day where they come out swinging. And you start landing haymakers on each other. I'm with you, C-Dot. I don't know about going for it all the time, if that's the smart way to do it. I'm not sure if being dumb aggressive is the way to do it, but I think you got to be aggressive. The one thing that I do know about this game, the one thing that I can bank on, and before, you know, I saw Sammy was questionable, and before I knew that he didn't practice for 2 days in a row, I'm like, man, there's no way the Rams can stop the Chiefs. They've got more offenses, and their defenses cancel each other out, and the Chiefs have, in my opinion, the best special teams in football. So from that, Chiefs are going to win this game. If Sammy does not play tonight, which I don't think he's going to play, I think that's a whole different deal. What I do know, but here's the one thing that I can bank on, the one thing that all of us can bank on, Andy Reid will scheme around Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald getting to Patrick Mahomes. We talk about Aaron Donald being the best defensive player in football. He'll make sure those guys don't get to him, whether it's quick passes, whether it's screen plays, whether it's, you know, whatever. Whatever Andy Reid's got cooked up to make sure those guys don't get their hands on Mahomes, he'll be fine. So I'm going to put my trust in Andy Reid in this thing. He'll scheme away from it. I don't know if you have to be as aggressive as you're talking about, but I do agree that you're going to have to score points in this game, and you're going to have to score more than 30 if you're going to win.
I just say that, though, because how many times do we hear analysis about football games and the belief is you got to take the points there? Man, this ain't a you got to take the points game. This is a, to me, you need to score a touchdown every possession, or that is an empty possession by your offense. Because if we're following my belief, and everybody has to follow it, of getting 3 stops, I would say if you are the Rams and you hold the Chiefs 3 offensive possessions where they don't score touchdowns on those drives and they get field goals, man, you got to feel like you did a really good job defensively that, again, the Chiefs are going to score points. The Rams are going to score points. They're going to move the ball. That's just offense in 2018. These are two teams that have shown you an ability to score. To put it in perspective, the Chiefs score on 57% of their drives. the Rams score on 54. About the same, but the Chiefs' offense is a little bit better. That, man, trading touchdowns is maybe how this is going to go. You talk about the heavyweight bout and trading rounds. I would say if you can hold them to a field goal on your round and then you go back and then you can score a touchdown, that
yeah,
just gives you an advantage. But I'm just saying in this, I would be hyper-aggressive when it comes to it. If it comes down to a fourth and two or kick a 48-yard field goal, I personally would be going for it. That would be my mindset going into this football game.
Here's the only thing, though. Say you've got fourth and one or fourth and two, and you've got Sue and you've got Aaron Donald in the middle there. You're going to have to get creative with that, all right? Whether that's going to be, you know, one of those run-pass option plays that Mahomes keeps it, whether it's a screen play. And guess what? The defense knows you're going to do that. Because the last thing you're going to do is try to run it right up the gut at Sue and Donald, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the difference, and that's something you got to think about, you know, on this deal. And the other part, too, is in this game, I don't think you're going to see a 69-yard bomb from Mahomes unless Donald and Sue are out of the game. I mean, as Sean was talking about, you know, last hour, man, if you get those two guys out of the game to go get a drink of water, catch their breath, whatever, you go no huddle and then you go deep because they're not going to have time to go deep. If you got Sue and you've got Donald coming at Austin Ryder, a third-string center, a second-string guard, and Andrew Wiley and Cam Irving, you're not going to have time for those routes to develop downfield. So that's another thing you got to think about. Fourth and short, I don't know, man. With those two big animals, you know, in the middle there, you know, on that interior defensive line, I'm not sure a punt's not the wisest move, depending on what the situation is.
Hey, Spectre, I'm not sure if we have this audio when it comes for NFL Network. All right, we got it. Hey, let's give you guys this update from NFL Network. This is Omar Ruiz getting you ready for Chiefs and Rams with a little bit of an update on the health and availability of Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins, he's listed as questionable. He didn't play last week against the Cardinals, although Andy Reid did say there's a pretty good chance Watkins plays. He did return to practice on Thursday in a limited role. Reid saying that was more about testing his foot. They thought that the best course of action for Watkins last week was to rest him, so he didn't practice on Friday or Saturday.
So that was Omar Ruiz of NFL Network. I'm looking at Garrett Dieter and him being moved up from the practice squad to being on the 53-man roster. I certainly could be wrong. I don't think Sammy Watkins is playing in this game, which neutralizes a little bit when you factor out the injury to Cooper Kupp, who just went on IR, so Cooper Kupp is done for the rest of the season. I think we all knew that he tore his ACL in the Rams' last game, so that kind of evens it up on both sides. I'm not expecting Sammy Watkins to go in this one. You didn't practice the last 2 days. I don't think he goes.
I don't think he goes tonight either. I heard Andy say earlier in the week that when he tested it out, he didn't have any pain in that foot and he was going to be okay. And that got me thinking, maybe we got a shot here. You know, maybe we got a shot to be fully healthy going into this game against the Rams. But listen, man, I don't think he should play tonight, to be honest with you. You combine the Patriots losing to the Titans and the Broncos knocking off the Chargers yesterday. The Chiefs have a nice little pad here. You know, they've got some room to play with. Now, you obviously want to come out and you want to play great in this game, but at what cost? Do you want Sammy Watkins out there, re-hurts the foot, then he's out for a month and a half, you don't have him for the playoffs? I don't want that. I would just as soon rest Sammy Watkins tonight because you still got Kelce, you still got Hunt, you still got Hill. You know, Conley and DeMarcus Robinson are okay. You know, I think they can hold down the job over there. If I'm the Chiefs and I have any question whatsoever about Sammy Watkins, I'm sitting him, man. I'm like, I'm taking his helmet. You're not suiting up. You're done.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll tell you where the Chiefs have the biggest advantage when it comes to this game. We'll also catch up with Chris Carter, Pro Football Hall of Famer. He will be on the show at 4:30. And in my mind, this is a perception-changing type game for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get into all of that in the 4 o'clock hour as we get you ready for the biggest game in the NFL regular season so far, Chiefs and Rams on Monday Night Football. You're listening to The Drive right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Hello. The Chiefs and what they bring to the table. And I love the explosiveness of the Chiefs. But I'm going to ride with the Rams simply because I love the balance that they have. And I don't think they're scared of the challenge defensively on the back end. I know the back end hasn't been tremendous this year for the Rams. Yeah, but that front. Yeah, but that front four, they coming. Oh, they'll be coming around the mountain when they come.
That right there is the voice of Pro Football Hall of Famer Deion Sanders. The audio is courtesy of NFL Network. We'll talk to another Hall of Famer coming up at 4:30. Chris Carter of Fox Sports 1 will be on the show coming up at 4:30. Earlier in the year, Marcus Peters did this somewhat exit interview when he got traded from the Chiefs to the Rams on NFL Network. This is what he had to say.
What are you expecting in this game, and what can fans expect from Patrick Mahomes?
I'm expecting turnovers, and I'm expecting a win.
Oh, you in competitive mode right now. Yeah, you're expecting to get some turnovers off of.
What?
Already.
He know how to give me the ball.
He know how to give it to
he
you.
He know how to give me the ball.
So that was Marcus Peters when he sat down with NFL Network earlier this year. Fanning, I know you're not the biggest stat guy in the world, but I think I got some numbers for you.
Yeah, throw them at me.
If there's one thing I know you love, it's stats about how Marcus Peters is struggling this year. Quarterbacks are completing 72.5% of their passes when throwing at Marcus Peters so far this season. He is allowing 12 yards a target. Not catch, 12 yards a target. When you throw the ball in the direction of Marcus Peters, he has allowed 6 touchdowns this year, only 1 interceptions. Quarterbacks have a passer rating of 143.7 this season when they're throwing at Marcus Peters. To put that into context, perfect is 158. Marcus Peters has been one of the 10 worst cornerbacks in the NFL. There's no other way to put it. If you want to talk about where the biggest advantage for the Chiefs is in this game, it is top 5 wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Top 7, if you want to argue, wide receiver Tyreek Hill going up against a bottom 10 corner in the NFL. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
There has not been a player, I would say, in the NFL where perception has changed as much over the last 12 months for Marcus Peters, where he went to in the conversation with Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Bouye, to now, again, being a bottom 10 corner in the NFL this year.
Listen, I want Marcus Peters to play well, and I want him to get his head straightened out and take care of his emotional stuff and be a really good player. Just not tonight, you know? To me, he's one of the biggest mysteries, question marks, going into this game. Because, and I think you brought this up last week, C-Dot. I mean, how good was Peters after the game that that he was suspended?
He had 2 picks in the game against
the Chargers.
He was
phenomenal. Sure. You know, and one thing that we ought to be aware of at least a little bit is, you know, Marcus Peters didn't come out trash-talking this week. Marcus Peters came out like he got coached up pretty well by the Rams PR staff and quarterback Jared Goff. And when Marcus Peters comes out saying all the right things, hey, it's going to be a tough game. It's my former team. You know, I just want to go out there and do the best I possibly can. If he comes at you like Andy Reid or Alex Smith, that worries me a little bit. I think you got a better chance against emotional Marcus Peters, against the guy that can't control his emotions. The Marcus Peters that can control his emotions and be level-headed is the Marcus Peters that scares me, because that dude can be really good. You got a guy with that kind of ability and that kind of talent, and if he plays level-headed against the Chiefs, I think he can hurt you. So, listen, I've always said that the thing that frustrated me the most about Marcus Peters is self-sabotage. A really talented guy that can't control his emotions and can't control his actions, it drives me nuts when guys do that. If this is the beginning of a new chapter in Marcus Peters' life where he's controlling his emotions and thinking, you know, and being a level-headed player out there, then he could be extremely dangerous. So I'm really curious to see the kind of game he has, because I think we all agree that he's not one of the worst corners in the NFL, even though he's played like it this year. I think we all know he has much more ability than that. So I'm really curious to see how Peters comes out and responds and if he can control his emotions tonight.
To give you some more numbers with how Marcus Peters has struggled so far this year, is I think that's the biggest advantage that the Chiefs have in this one. I looked up what number one wide receivers and top wide receivers have done against the Rams since the Aqib Talib injury. I think when we look back on the season and we think about where the balance of power may be shifted, it was with the Aqib Talib injury. And aside from Jimmy Garoppolo and quarterback injuries, I think it's hard to find an injury that maybe has had the impact on a defense and a team the way that the Aqib Talib injury has affected the Rams. So I looked up once Aqib Talib went out. He played in week 3. He has not played since week 3. He is on IR. He can come back after the bye week, so after this game for the Los Angeles Rams. Adam Thielen hit the Rams for 8 catches, 135 yards. Stephon Diggs, 11 catches, 423 yards. Tyler Lockett from the Seahawks, 3 catches, 98 yards. Had a long touchdown catch on Marcus Peters. Emmanuel Sanders, 7 catches for 115 yards. Devontae Adams of the Packers, 5 catches for 133 yards. And Michael Thomas, 12 catches for 211 yards. I think what has been different with Marcus Peters in a 180 is when Marcus Peters was in Kansas City, teams openly threw to the other side and didn't challenge and didn't attack Marcus Peters. Man, that's been the opposite when it comes to how to beat the Rams in 2018. I heard this quote. I was reading a paper from Sam Farmer of the LA Times, and he was saying that the Rams defense is well-rounded, no corners. The secondary is the weakest part of the Los Angeles Rams. If you look at how teams have attacked them, everybody's throwing on them. Everybody's getting big yards on me. There's nothing to believe that Marcus Peters is going to turn things around in this game and shut down Tyreek Hill. I'm not saying Tyreek Hill goes for 200 yards. I would say at a minimum, Tyreek Hill is going to have at least 100 yards and one touchdown catch. Every number suggests that a good quarterback and a good wide receiver combination, they're going to have a productive day against the Rams.
That's why if I'm the Rams, I don't put Peters on Tyreek. I mean, I just don't do it. You know, I was listening to my guy Rich Baldinger over on Channel 5 and Tom Martin on their game day show yesterday, and Baldy still thinks that Peters is hurt a little bit. He goes, he can say he's not, the Rams can say he's not, and all that good stuff, but if you watch the way he moves and watch the way he plays, he's not moving the same way as he was. And if that's the case, I'm not putting him on Tyreek Hill if I'm the Rams. Now, from a Chiefs perspective, I hope he does. Put Peters on Tyreek. Put him there all night and see what happens.
I want to get into this, and I know we got Chris Carter coming up in just a bit. I was thinking about perception-changing games for the Kansas City Chiefs and fully understanding that this is not a game in January. It's not a playoff game. You got to prove it in the biggest games from a playoff perspective when it comes to the NFL. This is about as big of a regular season test that you can have. On the road, top three team in the NFL, Monday night, good quarterback, well coached. This is the big-time test here.
Yeah.
That this is, you can't really change perception, I would say, any bigger than these kind of games. You played well against the Patriots, but you lost. You go on the road and you beat a team like the Los Angeles Rams. You silence as many doubters as you can before you get to the postseason, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is the big test. Can this defense, for me, I mean, the perception change comes on defense. If you could somewhat harness the Rams, keep them under 30, then we got something maybe.
Coming up in just a bit, keep it locked in. Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter from First Things First and Fox Sports 1 will be on the show. Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter joins the drive next. Brad, you and I have been really lucky this week to have some great former guests. We've had DeRon Cherry, Neil Smith, Sean Barber, Joe Mays, Bill Moss,
Will Shields,
Danon Hughes, Larry Johnson. We've had some incredible former players join us on the show this week to get you ready for Chiefs and Rams. Our next guest certainly is no exception to that. He is 13th all-time in wide receiver yards. He is 6th all-time in catches. He is also 4th in receiving touchdowns all-time. 8-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first-team All-Pro, also made a second-team All-Pro. He is also on the NFL 90s 1990 All-Decade Team. Our next guest is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He is also the host of First Things First on Fox Sports 1. You can catch it from 5:30 to 8:30 Central Time. Chris Carter, welcome on today's show. What similarities do you see between this high-powered Chiefs offense and the great offense you played for on the 1998 Minnesota Vikings?
I mean, I see a lot of similarities as far as the three receivers. 1 week, you know, not knowing who the guy is going to be. Is going to be Kareem Hunt, Robert Smith? Will it be Tyreek Hill, Randy Moss, Chris Carter, Jake Reed? We've also seen Sammy Watkins when he's been in there. He's had a couple of games. Travis Kelce, I believe, is the best tight end in football. So, yes, they do have the explosion. The one thing we don't have is, we don't have the young Patrick Mahomes. We were getting a Randall Cunningham was coming out of retirement, and he caught magic in a bottle and was MVP that season. Patty Mahomes in his first full season as a starter, I think Chiefs fans are going to be able to see this for a long time to come. So I think that's probably the biggest difference. This is the hope moving into the future for Kansas City and their quarterback.
Chris, who does Mahomes remind you of? Because that seems to be like a big topic on our show. People want to tell us who he reminds them of quarterback here. We've actually heard a Randall Cunningham comparison. I think it was Dan Orlovsky from the NFL Network that said it. When you watch Mahomes play, what quarterback does he remind you of?
Sometimes I try to, because when you're doing a show, you try to give people something they can identify with.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you do a disservice because it's so special what you're seeing. And if you've really never, ever seen it before, like, that's what makes something special. So the combination of Brett Favre and some of the other quarterbacks that we've seen, but we've never seen anyone who plays exactly like Patty Mahomes. You know, so for me, I'm watching every week trying to identify his talent with other players, and there's just not one that I can do it. Because sometimes, you know, he looks just like a regular quarterback, as far as being in the pocket, dropbacks, makes his reads. Then other times he's scrambling around using his athletic ability. taking hits, and other times he's just freelancing like a Brett Favre. So I would say there's a number of players through time, but I think he's a set. He's like Drew Brees. Have you seen anyone like Drew Brees before Drew Brees?
Yeah.
No. Have you? You know, so it's nice to be able to identify some traits in players that resemble players because it helps the eye. But sometimes, too, a guy is so, so special that we should keep him in a category by himself.
Right now we're talking to Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter on the drive. He is the host of First Things First from 5:30 to 8:30 on FS1. Andy Reid, you played in a lot of great offenses. You played for a lot of great minds. What makes Andy Reid so great offensively?
I think how he attacks not only the defense, but how he attacks the football field. You know, people don't a lot of times talk about sideline to sideline, but with a lot of his shifts and motions, you know, he challenged you to put you in open space. You know he's always going to have some type of vertical game, but what I like most is a lot like Belichick. He won those first three Super Bowls being very conservative offensively, only throwing the ball, you know, maybe 25 to 35 times. But the last two Super Bowls, man, he's been offensive-minded, top five, top 10 offense almost every year. Andy Reid, going back, getting some of those college elements, I believe adds to what he'll do, stretching the field from sideline to sideline. And the type of speed that he's put on the field, I think it's a game-changing move. So it's not only the X's and O's, it's the type of talent and speed that he's put with those plays.
Chris, kind of getting into this matchup a little bit, you bring up Sammy Watkins, who maybe will not play in this game. What was it like as a wide receiver whenever Randy Moss was out, whenever Jake Reed was out, whenever you had to pick up the slack because one of your fellow wide receivers was injured? What kind of pressure did that put on you in individual games?
Yeah, you don't want to try to put too much individually on yourself. What you collectively do is you should come together as a room. So, you know, so not only Kelsey, Tyreek Hill, everyone else who's involved, Kareem Hunt, every guy try to make one extra play. Do what you're going to do, but just try to make one extra play. And if you're able to get that from your group and as talented as they are, they'll be able to replace some of that productivity. But one of the reasons why Kansas City is a special, special attack is because of the ability of Sammy Watkins, the ability for him to be able to dominate a game, any given game. You can also give him a reverse. You can throw him a shallow cross, the jailbreak screen. So all of those things. You can't get that one receiver. So if they're going to reach their potential, Chiefs fans, you need to be concerned. Can Sammy Watkins stay healthy? Because they're a better offense with him on the team.
We're talking to Chris Carter from Fox Sports 1. He's the host of First Things First. Now, he's also a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Chris, he doesn't look like one if you just look at his skill set, or if you just look at his size, you just look at him, you don't think. Tyreek Hill is not what you think when you see a number one wide receiver in the NFL. But is he a number one, a true number one in your eyes?
I mean, I think he's a number one. I think he's earned that. Nick and I have had these conversations on and off the air. And Nick had appointed him to a number one receiver before I had. But I believe that what we've seen, say the last eight games of last season and the first 8 to 10 of this season, you can see if he's given the opportunities, like he can carry the team. Now, he's very, very fortunate that he's on a team that has the other players that are very, very productive. They have a running game, and Travis Kelce's the best at his position. So they have two number one. And anytime you have someone like Kelce, that's why the Sammy Watkins absence can be absorbed. But to me, Tyreek Hill, he's not just a speed trick play type guy now. He puts fear in the defense. He runs normal routes and does it at a high, high level. So him knowing the route tree and mastering the route tree, planning the slot zone, that lets me know he's got a high football IQ. And he can learn more than one position. So those are the things outside of his consistent catching of the football have made him number one from my perspective.
A lot of people know you from the Minnesota Vikings, certainly had a Pro Football Hall of Fame career, but you actually started your career with the Philadelphia Eagles. I bring that up to talk about Marcus Peters, who started with the Chiefs and is now on the other side of this matchup with the Rams. What is it like to go against your former team?
Well, you look forward to it because you've gotten a lot of information in practicing against them. And there's always some story behind it. regardless of the athlete, of how much he might have had to do with it. You know, my story has been well told throughout the years, but the player, even though when he's at fault, Marcus Peters is some fault why Andy Reid and organization gave up on him, as far as his lack of discipline, detail, and things like that, not wanting him to guarantee all that money forward. I can understand that. But when a player gets in a game like this, he forgets all this, and it's all the organization's fault. So you build up this rage against the organization because you're there, a lot of times it's because of you. But so what I tell players is just be careful of being too emotional. I'm glad he's playing in Los Angeles compared to playing back in Kansas City, because I know the fans in Kansas City would be hard on him, but he's got a full-time job, and everything that they're running, I believe that the Chiefs and Andy Reid will attack him, because they, just like he knows the receivers, they know him. They know his tendency to bite on things in front of him and realizing that he doesn't have great deep speed. So I look for Kansas City to be able to utilize that information and try to make this an emotional game for him. Because Marcus Peters, he will be focused in this game.
Chris, you played in 23 Monday night football games and had 10 touchdowns. What is it like to play well on this big stage?
It's a little bit different. You know, everyone's going to be watching, people you went to high school with, teachers who taught you in school, little league coaches, things like that. So you know Monday night will always be special. And because it starts at the same time that you – how you prepare for it, you just have to make sure you don't get too excited. It's a long day. It's a long wait. You know, I try to tell people, don't be ready for an 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock game at 3 o'clock. You know, make sure you're ready at 8, so you have to manage your energy throughout the day. But it's always been a great stage to be able to play. The rest of the league is watching. And then you know that even the casual fans that have been part of your upbringing and part of your life in football, you know those people will be watching. So that brings a little extra excitement to it.
Last question, the big one here, man. Who you got tonight and why?
Well, I think this is a great matchup. I think we as fans should enjoy this. It's not many times week number 11 you're going to have a team 9-1, 9-1, both of them, you know, looking to try to have home field advantage. Also the potential of a preview for the Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs because of two reasons. There's two parts of the Rams defense that struggle. One is against the rush. So I believe that Kareem Hunt will have a good day, not only rushing the football, but out of the backfield. And also Kelce, the tight end. I believe he has a matchup against the linebackers and strong safety of the Rams. So I look for Kansas City to be able to get it done. I'm going 38-34 Chiefs.
And that was Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter. He is also the host of First Things First on FS1 with Nick Wright from 5:30 to 8:30. Chris, really appreciate you making the time for us today.
No, thank you guys.
A very special honor to have Chris Carter on the show, man. Not many shows can get two Hall of Famers to help you get ready for Chiefs and Rams. A big-time game. We had to get the big-time guest for you guys. Coming up in just a bit, the NFL gets something right. I normally get on them because they typically get things wrong, but they got something right for this game. And you think that it's not even close between Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes when it comes to MVP. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive. Back in on The Drive coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. I think you guys can guess what that is today. A huge game.
We're talking soccer?
No, not soccer.
We're talking
today.
Religion or politics?
Nope. It is Chiefs versus Rams on Monday night football. We'll get to that coming up at 5 o'clock. Now, the NFL, they normally get things wrong. 99% of the time, the NFL will do the wrong thing. But I got to give the NFL a lot of credit. This game should not have been played in Mexico City. If you look at the field, the field looked terrible. And they did the right thing early in the week. I might have inconvenienced some fans, but they did the right thing for the players. They did the right thing for this game. They moved this game from Mexico City to the Coliseum in Los Angeles, where the game should have been at one team's home venue. And then I think how they're handling this officiating thing. They're going to do the officials a little bit different. For the most part, in NFL games, they go by crew. Now, when you come to playoff in the Super Bowl, they kind of handpick and they put the all-stars and the highest-graded officials get playoff games. But when it comes to regular season, it's typically crews, and those crews stay together. For this Chiefs and Rams game on Monday Night Football, they are having an all-star crew when it comes to this. I'll give the NFL this. I think we've seen too many times on a Monday after a game or the Tuesday after the Monday night game, we spend more time talking about a controversial call or controversial decision instead of talking about the players on the field and what happened. This is not a game that needs to be decided because the field's bad. This is not a game that needs to be decided because an official makes the wrong call or you didn't do everything in your power to put the right officials on the field together. I give the NFL all the credit in the world for making this game about the players on the field and the product and trying to avoid any possible controversy ahead of time when it comes to the field or officiating.
Yeah, I'll give the NFL credit for the intent on this, but I want to see how the execution works. And the reason I say that is because in playoff games, they have these all-star crews. They put them together for playoff games so they don't get mistakes. You get a better crew. You don't have to worry about controversy. And then you look at what in the hell happened when Derek Johnson laid out Marcus Mariota in the playoff game last year. Jeff Triplett called forward progress when it was clearly DJ laid the wood to Marcus Mariota. He coughed up the football and the Chiefs would have got it. Should have been a turnover. So intent is good. Execution is what I want to see. And a lot of times you start putting crews together that haven't worked together, you get mistakes. So the intent there is good for the NFL. Let's see if the execution backs it up.
I'm just going to give the NFL for doing everything they need to at least beforehand. You're right. Something can go wrong throughout the course of the game. We can criticize ex-official.
I mean, but you talk about the Chiefs. Their intent was good to shore up the run game. The execution's been poor.
Yeah, but I'm saying is you at least got to give the NFL credit for. We get on the NFL for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no.
They realize how important this game is. They didn't want to mess it up when it came to the field. They didn't want to mess it up when it comes to referees. You're right. Something can go wrong throughout the course of the game, and we talk about disagreeing on a catch or whatnot as humans, that they're fallible. I give the NFL for acknowledging how big this game is and treating it like a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Man, they've gone through Super Bowl type preparations for this game. If you're putting an all-star crew for a regular season game and you lost the money in the move from Mexico to Los Angeles, you know how big, you know how important this game is in the NFL. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. I think there's only three people that can win NFL MVP. I think it's Patrick Mahomes, Todd Gurley, and Drew Brees. I think those are the only guys that can win MVP. Now, maybe Goff goes out there and throws six touchdown passes and inserts himself in the conversation.
He just doesn't look like an MVP to me.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win MVP. Yeah. I think, if anything, Gurley's going to be the guy from that team and from that offense that gets the pub for MVP. You think Drew Brees is starting to run away with this thing?
I do, and I think this can still change. I mean, I thought Mahomes was the guy. And you look at what Drew Brees is doing right now, and at his age, this might be his last crack to do it. For those of you guys that don't know the numbers on Drew Brees, and I know a bunch of fantasy football weenies out there probably know all these numbers, but for those that don't, 25 touchdowns in one pick, and he's completing 77% of his passes. I'm sorry, that's an MVP-type performance. Mahomes has got him beat with, 31 touchdown passes and more yards and all that stuff. 25 touchdown passes, only one interception, and completing 77% of his passes. If that is not, at least at this point, if that's not the most valuable player in the league, I don't know who is. Mahomes is having a great year. He's amazing. Got it? And I love that he's our guy. And we're going to have him for the next 10 to 15 years. And Drew Brees, the train could come off the tracks, and he might have a four-pick game. I doubt it, but it's a possibility. If that's the case, then I'll go back on the Mahomes train. But right now, Drew Brees, without a doubt to me, is the NFL's MVP, and it's not even close.
I'm surprised you say that because – who do you think is having a better quarterback year? Let's take away their careers. Let's talk about what they've done. Who do you think is having a better year?
Drew Brees.
See, I don't think that. I think Mahomes has been the best quarterback in the NFL so far this year.
He's completing 77% of his passes, man. That is ridiculous. I mean, we live in a time where, you know, if you complete over 60% of your passes, it's good. You get mid-60s, it's great. He's at 77% 11 weeks into the season. I want Mahomes to be the MVP. I'm a Kansas City guy. I love the Chiefs. You know, born here, raised here, love the Chiefs, bleed red and gold. But, listen, what Drew Brees is doing right now is just ridiculous, man. I mean, seriously, think about it.
I mean, you could also say the same thing for Patrick Mahomes. And you're right. He doesn't have the completion percentage that Drew Brees does. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 4,500 yards and have 45 touchdowns this season.
Which is great.
And probably less than 12 interceptions and have a quarterback rating of over 110. let's not make it seem like Mahomes hasn't had the year.
I'm not saying.
And Mahomes is going to be a quarterback of an offense that's top five all time.
In another year, he'd run away with the MVP.
See, I kind of feel like for Drew Brees.
And there is the sentimental part of it, too.
I kind of feel like they're giving him the Kobe MVP. The Kobe was an amazing basketball player, only got one MVP. But I think the media kind of looked at it like, man, he hasn't won one yet? All right, let's find a good year that he plays really well. I'm sorry, Patrick Mahomes has been better than Drew Brees has been so far this year. Most of the time, they give it to the quarterback on the best team, and especially when you're going to put up the numbers that Mahomes does. I mean, Mahomes might throw 50 touchdown passes this year. We're saying that Mahomes can throw 50 touchdown passes, Drew Brees can throw 39, and they're going to give the MVP to him. This just feels like they're arguing sentiment and not who the better quarterback is.
Maybe. You know, I think Mahomes is worthy, too. I just think at that sort of completion percentage, and his team is winning, I can't see how Drew Brees doesn't get it, man. And I think, at least for this year, I think he deserves it. Sean Stradamus is looking at me like he's going to come over the table in his Alex Smith jersey and lay me out like I'm some quarterback and he's on some, you know, on some delayed blitz right here. But Drew Brees to me is right now, and that could change. That could completely change, and because, you know, I mean, we still have what do we have? 6 games left in the season, at least for the Chiefs. 5 for everybody else. That could change. So I'm willing to change my opinion at some point. But right now, man, 25 touchdowns, only one interception, 77% completion percentage. And what's the perfect passer rating against C-Dot?
158.3.
Okay, he's at 126.9 through 11 weeks of the season. I don't understand how he's not the MVP. If the season ended today, and I hate when we say that, he would be the MVP in my
I would
opinion.
Probably vote for Patrick Mahomes 1, Drew Brees 2, Todd Gurley 3 if I had to vote right now for MVP. I look at Patrick Mahomes, though. This is a go-win MVP kind of year. If you throw 3 touchdown passes in this game on the road and throw for 350 yards, I think Mahomes has the edge. I think we're going to see that it's going to be hard for Todd Gurley to do it. He probably has to score 25, 30 touchdowns just because of how hard it is to win it as a running back. This is a quarterback numbers kind of year. Mahomes has a chance to throw 50 touchdown passes this season and do something that only Brady and Peyton Manning have done. If you get to 50, I think you win MVP. I think if they get the 1 seed and he gets close to 50, I still think Mahomes wins MVP. But I'm with you. I kind of feel like the national media is looking for a reason to give Drew Brees the MVP.
You know, I mean, we talked to Rich Gannon about this, and we have him on because he's got an MVP vote, and we've got him this week on our show. And last time we asked him about it, he said Mahomes is his guy. So maybe I'm the crazy one here. But what Drew Brees is on pace to do, to me, is unprecedented. I mean, Tom Brady, when he won it in 2010, he had 4 picks. You know, that gives you an idea of how good Drew Brees has been.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City and get you ready for the biggest game of the regular season in the NFL, Chiefs and Rams. You're listening to The Drive right here on 610 Sports Radio.